Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of the 99% podcast. I'm Lucian Waugh-Daly.
And I'm Michael McAndrew.
And we are joined this week by a very special guest here in studio. You've heard from him before. He is Shane Kelly.
Hey, guys.
How are you,
Shane?
Good, no?
You're our global correspondent.
World correspondent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you been venturing the globe in search of magic and adventure?
Since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you've gone to multiple countries since.
Counties, I think.
You're a regional explorer. I mean, since you were last on the show, we've had, you know, all the stuff with Trump and Brexit and all such. What are your thoughts on all of this? Do you have a one word way to sum up everything that's happened since your last appearance? It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a word, to be honest.
No, there isn't.
There's not one word. A series of words.
The word is just darn.
Darn.
Or just, yeah, I don't know. I've got none.
All right. Well, this week was a big week for fans of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because there was a new book published, sort of. We have a copy of it right here. It's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It is a original play by Jack Thorne.
It has instantly become a bestseller.
It is the eighth story following the adventures of Harry, Ron, Hermione, and the gang. And it is one of the worst things I've ever read.
€32 it was priced at somewhere.
The price was €32 on reduction to $19.99, on reduction to $17.99. So at some point it'll be going
well,
up
I
to
mean,
€32.
Okay, there's something fundamentally wrong with it to begin with, and that's the fact that it's not a book, it's a play.
It's a play. It is a play script of a play that is now
and
open
they
on the
put
West
it
End.
Into a hardback book and decided that they were going to charge a load of money for it.
Yeah.
Suppose it looks nice.
So, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, the reason they published this is because they didn't want fans being spoiled by spoilers on the internet once the play opened.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the majority of Harry Potter fans in the world cannot go to London to see a play.
And they wanted to be able to capitalize on that, right?
Exactly. So what they did is, to compromise, they released the script as a book for everybody to enjoy. There is not, unfortunately, much enjoyment to be had from a story which bastardizes all of the Potter canon and cancels out some of the most poignant moments of Rowling's original seven books. That's about all I have to say about this.
Yeah.
So it is our not recommendation of the week.
It's our not recommendation.
Do not buy Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Is there an audiobook or something?
Nope.
No.
I mean, it was...
That might make it more bearable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You either read the book or you see the play.
You have to judge it as a script, though. And as a script, what do you think?
It's terrible. This has no redeeming qualities whatsoever as a script. I'd say as a play and in as a physical play, there are obviously aspects of the visual performance which sound very exciting and original. But as a piece of writing, this is just embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
Let's move on.
One of our favorite social media apps, Instagram, has launched a new feature this week.
Yep.
And it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
I don't know about you guys, but I, for one, have a very heavy Instagram presence.
You do. And our Instagram, this new Instagram feature, it's called Instagram Stories.
Which is Snapchat, right?
It's just Snapchat Stories. So this feature allows you to post moments from throughout your day to your Instagram.
So original.
Drawing on them and adding text. And then they disappear after 24 hours. Oh my God, so original.
See, what I loved so much about Instagram was two things. Number one, their idea was so original when it first came out, right?
Mm-hmm. Although, was it? We had Flickr.
Yeah, but Flickr was... The whole point of Instagram was that you take photos on your iPhone.
Yes.
And you upload them.
Yeah.
Flickr is like...
Was batches of family photos.
It was
such,
for... Yeah, and it was also for professionals. And like there was this whole thing...
Mm.
Instagram was a more original idea. It was playing on limits, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same way that Snapchat.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to use the square.
Yeah.
The limitation is what's so attractive about it. It's the same with Twitter as well. You know, limiting the characters.
Yeah.
So in that way, Instagram is great.
Mm.
The second thing is the design was incredible. Like it's just those guys in Instagram always did a great design.
Mm-hmm.
Good job on the design.
Yep.
So I guess. I mean, I've just briefly seen it, but from what I've briefly seen, it's a better design-wise. They've taken, you know, Instagram's nice-looking design to... Mm-hmm. I mean, Snapchat is not a very well-designed app in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, it looks better that way, right?
Yeah.
But
It's just that Instagram serves a different purpose, and I think the photos you put on there are designed for permanence. So now it's just turning, and it's just going to split people's attention between two apps, which is always just a nuisance.
Yeah, but Instagram video has kind of done well, right?
Yeah, no, it has, and they've and you can updo videos
up to a minute, right?
Up to 2 minutes now. I think.
2 minutes, okay.
I think it might be, yeah. So there's room for experimentation, I guess.
They're just getting bored, and they want to add new things.
Exactly.
I guess. Yeah.
You know what it's time for now, Michael?
I do.
It's time for...
We're kind of doing this show a bit arse ways today. We're kind of doing all the stuff we do at the end, at the beginning.
All right.
All right,
time now
get
for the 99-second quiz. The quiz where we have 99 seconds to answer a series of questions related to general knowledge and such. This week, Michael will be quizzing me. The scores are currently... Michael's in the lead, I believe?
No, we're a draw. Two and a half.
Oh, well, you've done two quizzes and I've only done one,
so...
So
how does the score system work?
I don't know. We haven't been writing it down, but let's see.
Okay.
So you need a timer.
I'm on a total of 3.5.
Yeah.
And you're on a total of 2.5.
Yeah. But we'll see how I.
See how you do. I think you can.
So do you have a 99 second timer?
I do.
Okay.
And the time starts now. Today celebrates the birthday of which British broadcaster who died this year?
Terry Wogan.
Who is the director of the recently released Jason Bourne film?
Paul Greengrass.
What is the highest grossing film to be nominated for Best Picture at this... Or that was nominated at Best Picture this year's Oscars.
This year's Oscars.
Yes.
This year's Oscars. The Martian.
What is the top... single on the UK charts right now?
Chris Brown, don't know the name of the song.
What are the top 5 grossing films at the box office this weekend?
This weekend, okay.
So the end of July.
Oh no, okay. Jason Bourne, I'll just give them in a random order.
Okay.
Jason Bourne, Star Trek Beyond, The Secret Life of Pets, whatever came out the week before that. Ghostbusters and... I don't know. Pass on the 5th one.
Okay. Harry Potter has become an international best-selling book this week, including on Amazon, but what are the 2nd and 3rd best-selling books on Amazon right now?
Pass.
When was the Leaving Cert first introduced in Ireland?
1955.
Who was the winner of this year's Wimbledon?
Men's or women's?
Men's.
Andy Murray.
Ooh. Okay, you did really well.
That was embarrassing.
You did really well, though.
I should have done
okay,
much
turn
better.
Off the music. Okay, so you got the first one, Terry Wogan.
I was right.
Yep.
Okay, good.
He's not Paul Greengrass.
But Terry Wogan's Irish.
So you got two.
Terry Wogan's Irish, not British.
But.
He's a broadcaster working in Britain. He is an Irish man.
I should have said an Irish. Yeah, because that would have made it harder, right?
Yeah.
You got The Martian?
Yeah, good. Yes. Okay.
So you got three.
I completely blanked as to what was this year's Oscar contenders.
Okay, you didn't. So the top single was Cold Water.
By who?
Justin Bieber, Major Lazzo.
Genuinely never heard of that song.
I never heard of the song. Top 5 grossing films. So you got Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
Bad Moms and Ice Age Collision Course.
I didn't even know that was out.
Neither did I.
Well, okay, well.
Yep.
I get a half point for that? Because I got 3 of them.
You get a half point for that, okay. Yeah, because you got 3 out of the 5.
Okay.
So the best-selling books, March Book 1 and March Book 2.
By whom?
By...
I don't care.
Like,
I don't
they're
care.
They're like about World War II, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I genuinely don't care.
John Lewis.
Great.
Yeah. There you go. That was, yeah. I'm struggling to come up with stuff. The Leaving Cert, though.
I have no idea.
1924.
Really?
And it hasn't changed.
That's still, almost 100
it's still
years.
7 subjects.
Wow.
It's still 7 subjects. It's still like the exact same setup.
Yeah.
Nearly 100 years later.
That's amazing.
Look how successful 92. This is the 92nd year of the Leaving Cert.
Wow. We are the 92nd Leaving Cert.
Nearly the 99th. That would have been great.
The 99th Leaving Cert Citrus.
Yeah, Andy Murray. You got Andy Murray.
Oh, I was
so
right. Okay.
You got four.
And a half.
You got four and a half.
Wogan, The Martian, Andy Murray, the half point for the box office.
And Jason Bourne.
Yeah, that was a half point. Oh, and Paul Greengrass.
Yeah, Paul Greengrass. So I got four and a half.
Okay.
That was good.
So I'm in the lead.
You're way in the lead, yeah. Shane, I kind of gave you that one, though.
Shane, did you know any of those? Most of them?
The other one.
We'll move on now to some political discussion.
Yeah.
What we do best.
Yes, exactly. On
last
show.
Week, we were covering the Democratic National Convention in whatever city it was in. Philadelphia.
Whatever city it was in.
And, basically, we were recording on Tuesday, and the convention went on until Thursday.
It had only really just started, right?
So there was a bunch more speeches in the week. We had speeches from President Obama, from former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Biden, the Hillary's running mate, whatever his name is, Tim Kaine, and the big woman herself, HRC. Did any of these speeches stand out to you, Michael?
Okay, so I watched Obama's. I watched a significant portion of Bill's.
Mm-hmm.
I watched... I couldn't say I watched Hillary's. I watched a little bit of Hillary's.
Yeah.
And I watched... I watched Biden's.
Yeah.
I watched bits of Tim Kaine's.
Yeah. I think we all watched bits
Obama's,
of Tim Kaine's.
Obama's was the best.
Yeah.
Out of that lot. Mm-hmm. It was more memorable. He was cooler about it, and it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Biden's was quite possibly Biden's or Tim, probably Tim Kaine's was probably not very
Tim
good
Kaine
at all.
Tim Kaine is definitely not a captivating orator.
No,
and I'm not sure that's what Hillary needs, but it's not as if she is a captivating orator. So she could have done with a running mate who was able to enthuse an audience.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Tim Kaine is particularly talented at.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. He didn't really do it for me.
It's unfortunate.
Bill, though, I was expecting Bill to kind of be, slightly more entertaining than he was.
Yeah.
His speech wasn't the best.
Hmm.
Could have been better.
Well, in addition to the speeches, on Tuesday night, we had the roll call, which is always a lot of fun. And for me, this was the standout moment of the roll call, was when they went to Democrats Abroad, which is basically the sort of delegation of Democrats outside the U.S. who are eligible to vote. And they asked Democrats Abroad to cast their vote.
Oh, yeah, that was so great.
You have 17 votes. How do you cast your vote? Democrats Abroad represents the 8.7 million U.S. citizens who live outside the United States.
Cool.
If you're an American
huge
abroad,
applause.
Go to votefromabroad.org to register to vote or request your overseas ballot. Our delegates from around the world include Larry Sanders, the big brother of Bernie Sanders. And Democrats Abroad delegate from England. We cast 9 votes for Bernie Sanders. And 7 votes for the next great president of the United States, Hillary Clinton. And to cast our final vote, here is Larry Sanders.
I want to bring before this convention the names of our parents, Eli Sanders and Dorothy Glassberg Sanders. They did not have easy lives, and they died young.
Mm-hmm.
They would be immensely proud of their son and his accomplishments. They loved him.
Democrats.
They loved the New Deal of Franklin Roosevelt, and we'd be especially proud that Bernard is renewing that vision. It is with enormous pride that I cast my vote for Bernie Sanders.
That's like the best. It's the best moment of the convention.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of human moment you never really see with the Clintons.
Yeah,
they don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was so.
It's always professional, and to have somebody speak very, you know, and Bernie's there, you know, holding back the tears. That's the kind of moment that you never see with Bill and Hillary. Really, they're just they're too professional in their political behavior, which is somewhat off-putting, but anyway, you know.
It's interesting. I didn't know very much about Larry Sanders, but he was a British politician.
I heard before. Well, he's not. I think he's a Jeremy Corbyn supporter in Britain.
He's Green Party.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
So he was a member of Labour.
Yeah.
And then he moved to the Green Party in 2005.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. I had heard about him before, but I didn't know what his actual. I'd never seen him speak, and he is. He sounds just like Bernie.
I know, it's so cool.
It's great.
But like he lived in England he's a lecturer, like.
Yeah,
in law and stuff.
So. That was great. And I mean, Bernie did steal a lot of this convention, as he did with the entire Democratic race, really.
Yeah, I know a lot of Bernie supporters still kind of.
I love Bernie so much.
There's a lot of Bernie supporters still like up in arms about the whole Hillary thing.
I don't know. You see, Hillary's dealt with this in a way which is kind of strange. Because on one hand, she's adopted a lot of Bernie's policies, right? And she's moved to the left on a lot of things, which I guess is a positive thing. But at the same time, when the emails got leaked that showed quite clearly that the Democratic Party had been biased towards her, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned, the first thing Hillary did was to appoint Debbie Wasserman Schultz as honorary chairperson of her campaign. And I feel like it's very hard to be supportive. It's very hard for Bernie supporters to see Hillary as being completely on their side when she's doing things like this. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not somebody who should be involved in any way in the Hillary Clinton campaign, as far as I'm concerned, considering how she treated Bernie Sanders during this race, with a lot of bias against him. So for Hillary to do that, even if Debbie Wasserman Schultz is her friend, I think is a mistake.
Yeah. Hillary has a potentially much larger issue now, though.
Yes.
With Julian Assange.
Indeed. I mean, I'm not sure if this is as big an issue as Julian Assange would like us to think it's going to be.
Yeah, he's making out to be.
But he's like been doing interviews.
Absolute downfall.
And he's been saying we have much more to reveal. We are going to leak a lot more stuff that we have about Hillary and on her. And that, you know, essentially this is going to lose her the election.
He certainly picked his moment, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He could have done this before Bernie lost the nomination.
Yes, or he could have done it after she wins the election.
Yes.
If she, you know, because
just basically do it when Trump is, when she isn't the, at a point when she isn't the only thing standing between Trump and the rest of us.
Because I think it's important that this stuff, like, what I'm trying to say
transparency
is
important.
Transparency
is
important.
However, Donald Trump not being president is also important.
Yeah.
There is a conflict of interest at the moment whereby we know Hillary is up to all sorts of dodgy things, but no matter how bad it is, it'll never be as bad as Donald Trump, a man who will not release his income tax returns for reasons which we can only begin to speculate why.
And also a man who loves to rock the boat with NATO.
Yes, a man who is going to cause huge international political trouble.
He's a crazy guy.
Corrupt Hillary is, I would very much appreciate it, Mr. Assange, if you would wait a few more months to reveal this information, just until Donald Trump's campaign has died. Because right now, we really need another person to be president.
High-stakes cereal.
High-stakes cereal. Or just cereal.
Just cereal.
But Trump this week, or last week, was trying. Of course, I mean, there's this kind of unspoken rule. It's been there for decades that when the Democratic convention is on and the Republican convention is on for that week, the other party and the other candidate keeps their mouth shut and doesn't try to hog media attention, right?
Yeah.
Hillary
yeah.
was nowhere to be seen during the Republican
yeah.
convention.
Yeah.
As soon as the Democratic convention starts, Trump holds an emergency press conference just to say a few things. He just had a few things to say. So he just says, I've heard a few things. People are talking. People are saying. And Trump essentially asks Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails and release them to the public, hence debatably engaging in espionage. And yet his reign.
Really shouldn't be laughing at this, but like.
And yet he continues to triumph in the polls. Well, not necessarily. I mean, Hillary.
If Hillary said,
Russia, please hack his
Trump's
tax returns release them to the public, she would not only be out of the presidential race, she'd probably be arrested.
Yep.
And Trump.
She would have no
Trump
career.
Is just completely Teflon candidate, can say what he likes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we've known this for a while, but whatever. It just gets funnier every week.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then, of course, yesterday, Donald Trump kicked his crying baby out of his rally. it's just the video is just so absurd. He tells the woman, he says, "It's fine. I love your baby. Beautiful, healthy baby." He makes this whole show about it. And then about 30 seconds later, when he's on a rant about China destroying our economy, and he just says, "You know, I was actually, you thought I was being serious? No, I do not want a crying baby in my rally. Get that out of here. Get that out of here."
Really?
So yeah, that's Donald Trump for you.
Whoa.
This week in Donald Trump being a horrible person.
Yeah.
Person.
But he also made comments about the parents of the Muslim soldier who spoke at the
DNC. This is probably the worst thing he's done this week. So the Khan family were some of the best. It was one of the best. Another great moment at the DNC.
It was.
They made this speech. Mr. Khan says, "Donald Trump, I don't think you've read the Constitution. I would be happy to lend you my copy."
Yep.
So Donald Trump, of course,
that was really cool.
Of course, responded to this in as noble and dignified a way as anybody else would. Oh yeah, no, he didn't. So Donald Trump says, "I've made loads of sacrifices, many sacrifices. I've created thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs. That's a sacrifice." He seems to think sacrifice and success are the same thing.
Yeah.
And then he basically insults the family and says that Mrs. Khan was not allowed to speak because of Islamic tradition and rules against women having a voice and all this stuff. Now, Mrs. Khan has since penned a lengthy essay. Mr. Khan has been giving interviews all week about this. These parents are really fantastic. And they're hopefully being outspoken against how Trump is treating them and how he is treating their community is in some way going to damage his popularity with certain people. I'm not sure if it will. A lot of people in the Republican Party have started to are criticizing Trump's reaction to the Khans. John McCain, a few other people. So it's not the entire party are not supporting him on this thing, at least, but it's just absurd that he has complete lack of compassion for these people.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah, and you can see now that the Republican Party are really, really turning more and more against
him. They're shifting in their seats.
Yeah, yeah. There's a real divide. That was what I think was so strange about the RNC this year was that there was that kind of...
The Bushes weren't there.
Yep.
McCain, Romney did not go.
Yep.
It was really just Paul Ryan, Bob Dole, and Donald Trump having a party.
So it's... And yet, people are still going to vote for this man.
Yeah.
Madness.
And there are 98 days to go until the election, I think. Which means every day for the next...
He has such a good chance.
Which means every day for the next 98 days, I'm going to have to look at pictures, video, hear audio, read the words of Donald Trump. And every time I think about that, it makes me die a little bit.
You know, I mean, at least we have something to talk about, but...
But it's not really.
It's actually just...
And the thing is, right, here's the other... Trump is saying this week, he says, "I think the election's going to be rigged," okay? Which means that if Hillary wins the election, we're going to get one of two things. The safe option... So the best option is that he will take a lawsuit against... He will try to sue for... wrongful loss, right? Now that's going to be an absolute nightmare. He's going to be on TV for months more. But that's the safe option, because the bad option is that there will be an uprising of Trump supporters against the establishment because they're going to just ignore the democratic system. They're going to say it's rigged. The fact now that he has the evidence that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was biased against Bernie, which is nowhere near on the scale of a general election. But however, he's going to use that, and he's going to try and use that example to give the impression to his supporters that the entire election is rigged against him.
Hmm.
And then there could easily be violence when he loses fairly because people are just ignoring democracy.
Yeah.
This is all stuff that could happen before, between now and Christmas.
Telling you, there's a lot of...
The next 6 months is going to be weird.
Although, to be fair, your predictions are probably...
My predictions have been poor so far.
Very poor.
Jeb Bush.
You still have to eat a hash.
Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee.
And you said it with such confidence.
I would pay a heavy price now to have Jeb Bush as the Republican nominee.
Yeah.
Despite his horrendous, horrendous history of corruption. Please, Jeb, come back.
Like, yeah, anyway. He didn't do so well.
So, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats are all horrible. So let's talk about some third-party candidates you might want to vote for, will we?
Yeah, because...
There's three major third-party candidates. Now, only one of these is on all 50 state ballots.
Right.
Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. Mm-hmm. Jill Stein and Castle. Do you know Castle's first name?
No.
Okay. You should probably find that out now.
Okay.
Castle2016.com.
Okay.
So we've got three candidates. Gary Johnson is the Libertarian candidate. Now, libertarianism. How do you guys feel about libertarianism as a political agenda? Small government. Fiscally conservative, socially liberal.
I'm trying to find out Castle's first name.
What is his first name? Shane, do you know his first name?
We're trying to find
you on his website?
Yeah.
Go to the about page.
Okay.
Daryl Castle. Okay.
You not know this either?
Doesn't know his first name.
Yeah. Nobody knows his first name.
Daryl Castle from the Constitution.
Born in 1948.
Okay.
To
go to his policy page because he's got and tell us a few of Garrett's policies. Go to his podcast, actually.
Where is his podcast?
Just click on any of his policies and there's a podcast.
There's no policy page.
Just
here.
Click on a policy.
Where? Oh, issues.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
The platform. Issues.
Issues.
Oh, look at this. He's got a podcast.
Yes. Play one of them.
Oh, he's so cool. All right. Here, plug her in.
Today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. And since I am the Constitution Party candidate for President of the United States, on today's podcast, I'm going to answer a question that I am asked quite often, and that is, why are you doing this? Sometimes the questioner precedes the question with a statement, such as, since you know you can't win, why are you doing this? That is a question I ask myself quite often. Joan and I have had many long discussions about it.
All the time.
In answer to the statement first, though, I don't accept that statement as true because I am a believer in God and I choose not to impose my limits on him. If he can create the heavens and the earth, as the Bible says he did, then he can determine who wins this election. The second reason that I don't believe I can't win is that people have a chance to hear me. Then decide for themselves how they want this country to go, although the mass media tries to ignore me and shut me out of any coverage. More important than the news they speak incorrectly or with bias about is the news they choose to simply ignore.
Okay, turn it off. I've heard enough.
So,
this is Garrett Castle. He's from the Constitution Party, and he loves guns, he loves old traditional conservative values, and he loves the American Constitution.
And the Bible.
And the Bible, from the sound of it. He's not on all 50 ballots. He literally cannot win the election.
Yeah. But I still think we should talk about it because what's absolutely insane is the fact that U.S. media literally don't even mention. They just act as if these other candidates don't exist.
Now, the rule at the moment for the debates is that for the TV debates, you have to be at 15% to get in the debate. Now, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, was in one poll recently at 11%. He's the only he's the only one who's near enough. He's the only one who could get to 15%.
See, if anything,
because a lot of conservatives who don't like Trump are going to support him.
It just makes for better TV.
Exactly. No, the fact is, a Trump a Trump-Hillary two-hander is horrible. Yeah. I do not want to watch that.
It's just going to be the two of them just bickering for like...
Gary Johnson as problematic as his policy platform is,
yeah,
is a very soft-spoken and level-headed individual.
But I would love to hear from Stein as well.
Yes,
though,
exactly. Exactly. You know? So would I. So would I. Now, Stein, her popularity just isn't at the stage. I don't think we should make it into the first few debates. But Stein has a very appealing platform. She's a she's a Green Party candidate, and I'll tell you, her logo is really ugly.
I'm looking at it right here. It's not even a nice shade of green. It's like a dark. It's like what I would consider like gardening center green.
Yeah, it's a gardening center logo. there's just too much going on. There's like a thing in the O, and it's just...
And the orange or yellowy orange thing, whatever the hell that is.
Oh, I don't even know.
And the sun, I guess that's the sun. It's like a thing with the things going through the zero.
Now, see, what's
going
to happen is a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who are refusing to vote for Hillary Clinton are going to support Jill Stein. But a vote against Hillary Clinton is a vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is.
Which is why us talking about these candidates is kind of counterproductive.
It's not quite a vote for Donald Trump, but
here's the thing. If you live in a state that is firmly red or blue, so if you live in California are always going to vote Democrat, right?
Yes.
Because they just have a majority of certain demographics. They're always going to vote Democrat. So if you live in California, you can afford to vote for Jill Stein. I don't even know if she's on the ballot there, but you can afford to as a protest voting. Say, I'm not going to tell my grandkids I voted for President Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for Jill Stein.
Yeah.
But if you live in Ohio, Pennsylvania, or one of these states, you really can't afford to waste your vote on a candidate who cannot possibly win the election.
Yeah.
You need to vote against Trump, and a vote against Trump is, in reality, a vote for Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
But Jill Stein, she's got some good policies. Do you have any of them up there?
I can get them up.
Just a summary of a few of them. They're pretty much Bernie's policies. I mean, what you'd expect from a Green Party, very passionate about climate change, which is, of course, as we like to say here, the defining issue of our generation.
Yeah, so she has jobs is a right, end poverty, healthcare is a right, education is a right.
Just Bernie Sanders
policies. Just Bernie Sanders policy.
So what's that provided for free by the state?
She has the $15 minimum wage.
It's democratic socialism policies, which is what I would vote for, were she a legitimate candidate.
Yeah, but I mean policy.
Or you could vote.
If you could vote.
If I could vote.
just to clarify what Shane was saying there. So she's got a lot of... Yeah, it's basically the same. But, I mean, policy isn't everything either. And so
if you like Bernie Sanders, you love Jill Stein.
Well, yeah.
And then we get to Gary. Gary Johnson's a libertarian candidate. So he wants small government.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, libertarianism comes with its good and bad sides. On one hand, this is a man who supports gay marriage, free and legal abortion, right to buy recreational marijuana. But on the other hand, he wants the Fed abolished, he wants taxes to be abolished, and he wants maximum gun rights. So, you know, take your pick. I mean, I would rather vote for Gary Johnson than vote for Donald Trump. Largely because he seems like he clearly is an intelligent and sensible man. On the other hand, some of these policies are just absolutely, unviable and not, and just absurd. But anyway.
Yep.
He supports separation of religion and state.
That's good. Well, but I mean, America already has that.
Exactly.
which can't be said for Ireland.
Yeah. eliminate double taxation embodied in business income tax. Build Big J enterprises into leading construction. Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Big J. Big job.
Big J is probably his company. Big Johnson. He wants free and legal drugs. He wants...
he's not...
Education. But then it's like he wants taxes abolished and he's a great libertarianism.
Yeah.
Free trade.
What about immigration and that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Okay. He said in January 2016, bigger border fence will only produce taller ladders. So I think he's saying he's probably a realist.
The immigrants will go as far as they need to get in.
He's being realistic. I think he says Arizona anti-immigrant law leads to racial profiling. A 10-foot wall just requires a 10-foot ladder. These are all his quotes. 2-year grace period for illegals to get work visas. He doesn't seem particularly strong.
He seems reasonable.
He seems reasonable on most things other than the financial issues. However,
Okay.
He wants Social Security to be privatized. And
Social Security
and
to be privatized.
Tax to be, he wants tax to be gone.
Yeah.
But you know, he's all about liberty. He's just like Rand Paul. I would rather a libertarian than a intense social conservative or a Donald Trump type lunatic. However, I would never vote for a libertarian if there was a, you know.
But if a libertarian actually got elected, would they be able to change all that
stuff? Exactly, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's running just as an issue candidate because, frankly, there are no libertarians in there's a minority of libertarians in Congress.
Yeah.
So no one's ever going to vote for this guy's policies, even if he got elected president.
Yeah.
And a third party candidate hasn't been elected president in a very long time. I mean, some of the founding fathers weren't Democrats, Republicans, you know, but like, it hasn't happened in our age, so probably won't happen then. So I don't know. That's pretty much all we have to say about those third party candidates. So
yeah,
if you don't want to vote for Hillary and you don't want to vote for Trump, there are alternatives. However, I do not recommend those alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you live in like a really firmly red or blue state, and it honestly doesn't make a difference. And if your vote is kind of you know, superficial anyway, you may as well vote for Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, or whatever his name is, Castle.
Daryl
Castle.
Daryl Castle. I'm glad we talked about them though. Yeah. Do we have any UK news?
Not really.
No.
Oh, yes. The UKIP frontrunner in the UKIP leadership race.
Yes.
Has been unable to run in the election due to having submitted his paperwork for nomination 17 minutes late. So I don't know what's going to happen. His name is Stephen Wolfe with an E.
W-O-O-L-F-E.
And he is experiencing some troubles because... Oh, look.
Yeah.
This just restarted.
Oh.
He's experiencing some troubles because... he can't run.
He didn't... Yeah, because he didn't sign up. He was 17 minutes late.
So I don't know. This is typical UKIP, isn't it? They just can't do anything right.
They just can't. They just want good old Farage back, you know.
Exactly. But Nigel,
to save the day.
Nigel's just fed up. He's tired.
He's been
working hard for years.
He has achieved what he wanted to achieve.
Yeah, and now there's no room for him.
And now he's gone.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Farage will be back.
He'll be back someday.
He'll be back.
I don't know who the next leader of UKIP will be. Frankly, I don't care. I think UKIP should probably...
Don't know anything about Stephen Wolfe, though.
He's not running, so it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter anymore.
I don't know who the other leader...
Oh, really? They're not going to make an exception something?
No, they were going... This is the news today, is that they won't... They were going to make an exception, they won't do it.
Literally.
Yeah.
He's literally gone.
It's funny. But I mean, the thing is, UKIP really we're a one-issue party getting independence for Britain.
Yep.
They've succeeded.
Now they're done.
They should probably dissolve.
They should.
I mean, there's certain parties.
I would have liked to see them dissolve a long time ago, to be
honest.
I think
we all would. But I mean, it's like these one-issue parties whose only issue is, you know, there are parties in Britain whose only issue is legalizing weed and such.
Yeah.
And I mean, when weed is legalized, that party will probably dissolve into a cloud of smoke. But UKIP, I think, for Oliver, I don't want to see these people on TV ever again. The people who designed the poster with the picture of the immigrants streaming over the border, which is just one of the most hateful pieces of political propaganda to ever come out of the United Kingdom.
Mm.
I really don't want to ever have to hear those people speak ever again.
Nor do I.
What a disgusting political party. I hate UKIP. I hate them.
Whoa.
Okay.
So much for remaining neutral in our political views for the 99% podcast.
So that's what happened in Britain this
just
week.
Just a disclaimer. Lucy and Michael have very independent views of
the views of Lucy.
And do not
represent the views. Do not reflect upon the views of the 99% as a podcast or other hosts or contributors to the podcast.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, Michael.
Okay.
A very important question.
Very important question.
Actually, I'm gonna let Shane ask the question this week. Shane, ask the question.
What question?
The question.
Well, this is the minority.
Ask the question.
Get on mic, Shane.
It's a very easy question to ask.
Just
ask the question. Don't tell him.
Oh, yes.
Okay, ask Michael the question.
Has the Fine Gael minority government dissolved it? Or
Collapsed it.
Sorry.
Michael, has
I
it?
I don't know.
No.
No. Okay.
Good. All right. Time now for classic album.
Classic album of the week.
So classic album the last few weeks, we will admit, was kind of a joke segment. We were playing crappy albums and pretending they were classic.
Although Michael Bolton was...
Oh, it was decent.
It was decent.
But this week we're talking about actual classic albums.
Actual great
so this
album.
Is one of the greatest albums that I've ever listened to.
Yep.
This is one of Michael and I's favorites. This is Arcade Fire 2006.
Okay,
Neon
what,
Bible.
What song should I play?
Oh, Antichrist Television Blues.
All right, let's do it.
This is one of the greatest post 9/11 songs you hear.
So good.
So great.
Yep.
Fantastic album. Some other oh, it's so loud. Some other fantastic songs on it. Intervention, Black Mirror, Neon Bible, the title track.
Yep.
Is No Cars Go on Neon Bible? It is, isn't it?
Yep.
I'll put on No Cars Go, actually. My Body is a Cage.
My Body is a Cage.
Wow.
The final song.
You can't even count how many great songs are on this album.
Yep.
I was lucky enough to see Arcade Fire in concert 2010. Wow, the energy of that show, that is amazing. It was the Suburbs tour, so they had like, it was half Suburbs, or it was, you know, Suburbs, Neon Bible, and Funeral, because I think their albums since have been disappointments. Reflector, wasn't a huge fan of it.
It's not bad.
Oh, it's good, but I think those first three are a trilogy of masterpieces, and I think Reflector was a lower standard, but no, that was the best set list you can imagine from Arcade Fire.
So, yeah, so the interesting thing about this album is... it was recorded in 2006, but it was recorded in a church in Quebec.
Yeah.
So the sound has got this really kind of it's like a really kind of an echoey kind of that's so cool.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like the production is really great.
Oh no, I mean their use of instrumentation and stuff is
oh yeah. I mean listen to this thing.
Extraordinary.
It's so good. Yeah, so Neon Bible.
Oh, it's great.
Our classic album of the week. We highly recommend that you
check it out
to this
on
album.
Spotify, iTunes.
Yep.
Also, check out Funeral and The Suburbs, two other fantastic albums.
What an album.
Suburbs, a great album documenting suburban rage and claustrophobia, which leads us in very nicely to our Kevin Spacey film
of the week.
Which leads us very nicely into our Kevin Spacey film of the week. Kevin Spacey film of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to do this a few weeks in a row, but you just couldn't get around to watching the film.
I couldn't get around. I was just really busy.
But this week you have.
Oh, yeah.
This is such a great film.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Sam Mendes' 1999 film.
2000 film.
Yeah. American Beauty. Written by Alan Ball. Starring Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening.
Gotta love those vibes.
Score by Thomas Newman. The score, which I think probably makes the film.
It is a 1999 film. It was September 1999.
Okay. And it won Best Picture in 2000.
Sure did. Yeah, that's why I thought it was.
And Kevin Spacey won Best Actor and Best Screenplay for Alan Ball. So, Michael, you saw it most recently.
Yep.
What did you think of American Beauty?
Wow, what a movie.
It's a very powerful film.
Very powerful. Quite disturbing.
Very, yeah, absolutely.
In how accurate it is.
Yeah. I think it sums up the misery of suburbia in the modern world better than any other film, really. Like,
it's so scary.
It's
like,
exceptional, yeah.
So
basically, the plot for listeners, basically, Kevin Spacey is this sort of miserable man going through a midlife crisis.
Yep.
And he develops a sort of... obsession with his daughter's teenage friend,
yeah,
and has sort of sexual fantasies about her and such. But at the same time, his daughter is having a sort of adolescent crisis. And meanwhile, a new...
His wife is having a crisis.
His wife is having a crisis. and her daughter's son... his daughter's boyfriend living next door had a crisis a long time ago.
Yes.
And is this sort of drug dealing existentialist who goes around filming things that he considers beautiful on his VHS camcorder. And the film is really about the concept of beauty, how to... It sort of deconstructs the concept of beauty in various ways by contrasting this sort of very, very... on the surface... normal situation, but then you have just the sort of tragedy of Spacey's character, compared with the actual legitimate love that is present with the younger people. And I don't know. It's and meanwhile you have the family of the boy next door. His father is this
major,
very angry ex-army man. He's got a lot of a lot of problems himself. And his wife is played by Allison Janney, and she seems to be mentally ill. Seems to be mentally ill in some
way. Which is really, really interesting.
There's so much detail in it.
Yeah.
And it's almost, if you were talking about it for a few minutes, you'd almost forget she was in it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many characters with so many problems, but yet it's a very, very... It doesn't feel crowded, and it's very... cleanly told story, but it's...
Yeah. And I think... But I think it works best in the time that it's set as well.
Yeah, yeah,
because,
absolutely.
Because, I mean, although it could still be really relevant today, it would just be so much more kind of...
And I think the nature of the VHS footage...
Yes.
That Ricky Fitz films sums up the film. I mean, it's that kind of grainy vision of beauty that he uses, and the sort of zooming in, and this is the tagline of the film was "Look Closer."
Yeah.
It's all about... examining what is actually beautiful and what merely conforms to sort of norms.
Yeah. What was most interesting to me, though, is... So, is the... With Kevin Spacey's kind of obsession with Angela, who's played by...
Mila Servino? Something like that.
Mia Suvari?
Mena Suvari, yes.
Her character is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Because
she's almost the embodiment of a cultural problem. Like.
Exactly. In the way that Kevin Spacey's obsession with her does not go any further than her appearance.
Exactly, exactly. Because she has no character. She has no personality.
Yeah.
We see her speaking to his daughter in private, and she is a totally one-dimensional
horrible
person.
Horrible kind of...
Yeah,
like,
she is vain arrogant and has absolutely no redeeming features. So he barely even speaks to her, but he is completely infatuated with her upon seeing her in a sort of cheerleading performance at the start.
And so... Kevin Spacey's daughter's boyfriend explores that.
Yeah, yeah.
And points out that she's just the most dull person on the planet.
And he does this through sort of recording them, and he sort of she's being extremely exhibitionist, you know. Uh-huh. She's being an exhibitionist, and he sort of moves the camera past her onto Thora Birch's character, Kevin Spacey's daughter, who is, while not the traditional beauty, is actually a far more appealing character.
Yes. Which is...
Because she has a personality. Yeah. And she's, you know... She can actually have conversations.
She's a more genuine person.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really interesting. And then there's the whole part where Kevin Spacey's character becomes so self-obsessed with his own image.
Yeah.
Which is also really interesting. Yeah.
And there's this whole subplot where he blackmails his employer.
Yeah. We're completely spoiling this, and then goes to work in a fast food.
Oh, well, we're not spoiling the ending.
We're not spoiling the ending.
This film has so much detail in it. I mean, you could talk about it for hours.
Yeah. And then there's the affair that his wife has.
That's true. That's true. Which is a whole other. I don't even know.
Which is the
stuff with his wife is interesting.
It's also very interesting.
You could almost leave it out of the film.
Yeah.
And have the film be equally effective. But I think it works. It works.
It works because it doesn't reflect how little he cares.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I don't think we are really supposed to invest that much in her as a character because he doesn't.
Exactly.
But yet she is a person and she mm-hmm. has a life, and we see glimpses of that life, mm-hmm. and then they eventually feed into the climax of the film.
Yes,
as do all and as she does, do the other characters.
She does play a very vital role in the ending of the
she
film.
She does.
Anyway, so yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's such a great.
I really recommend it to everybody. Yeah, American really great Beauty, film. Great film. Shane, you're gonna have to check it out too, because you just didn't speak for the last 10 minutes because you haven't seen American Beauty, and we spoiled it for you. Sorry.
Oh no, I was on my phone the entire time. Oh, okay. I haven't heard a word you're saying
on your phone the whole time, good. Just like all those other teenagers these
exactly.
days.
No, I was completely zoned out there. I didn't want any spoilers.
Okay,
that's good. Good.
Yeah. We have some low stakes cereal this week.
Oh yes,
Michael, would you like to read out a bit of the first one to us?
Sure.
So this week's two stories that we're going to investigate. Well, I don't know if we will or not. They're both toilet themed, because yeah, we are mature individuals.
No, we like to keep with the
kids.
Keep with we like to keep with the toilet themed low stakes
exactly.
cereal,
but genuinely
from season one.
But genuinely, these are very serious stories.
Yeah. So an RTE employee has sued over a toilet roll dispenser that struck his head.
Michael, that's not funny.
I'm sorry.
That's not funny. This is very serious. This poor man struck on the head by a toilet roll dispenser.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So has he?
He's a studio supervisor. He's mm-hmm. sued over allegedly suffering constant whistling in his ears.
My God.
As a result of weight.
No, I think it just fell on him while he was in
part
the
part of a toilet roll dispenser fell on his head as he sat on the toilet.
I'm not sure how that could happen. They're usually at level that you can reach. Exactly.
Maybe he was bending over.
Fuck.
So he says he was sitting on, you see, okay, he was sitting on the toilet for the disabled.
Okay. So it would be at a different level.
In the audience holding area.
Yeah.
Adjoining Studio 4. When the cover of the toilet roll dispenser unexpectedly opened and hit him on the left side of his head.
Okay. So, I can imagine if it was in a disabled toilet, I'd imagine the toilet roll dispenser was at a sort of a
would you think it'd be lower?
Abnormal
okay,
location.
Okay, so the yeah, accident happened in 2008. May 26, 2008.
That's a long time.
He says that he has suffered tinnitus in his left ear following the incident. Now, I don't know much about...
I have mild tinnitus.
Well, so do I.
Very mild.
I have mild tinnitus because I play mm-hmm. very, very loud music yeah. all the time. So, you know...
I don't know why I have it.
So, I'm not sure that... I'm not sure that getting hit on the side of a head, your head...
You never know.
You never know.
Or whatever.
We're not doctors.
We express our sympathies to this man.
So we want to reach out to this man and help him. No, do we?
Yeah, no, not
no,
really.
No.
There's another toilet. Now, this one is very serious.
This one is actually serious.
So Galway yeah. Mayo Institute of Technology is one of our local colleges here in yeah. Galway. Workers and contractors at GMIT have voiced concerns about children being on the campus and using toilets at the weekends during an yeah. internal investigation into holes purposely drilled in cubicle walls by a, quote, peeping Tom. The matter was raised in statements made by three different people during an internal investigation, which found the holes were drilled for the purpose of peepholes. They pointed out that children occasionally use the campus on Saturdays and in the summer, and the holes in cubicle walls in male toilet blocks were uniform and purpose made. They identified a specific person's odd behavior, and a number of them named him as a lecturer in the college. So basically, holes were being drilled in the cubicle walls so that somebody could peep on people in the toilets. I mean, this is just very strange and shocking story.
It is very shocking.
Now, this happened also in 2008.
Yeah.
The investigation dates back to 2008, but the details were made public to the media in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And people were interviewed as part of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange story.
It is a very strange story. And it's, it is quite shocking. So, yeah, an individual has been identified as believed to have been...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, responsible. So responsible I don't know.
Now he is said to be a lecturer.
Yeah,
in the college, who's still working in the college.
Yeah,
and so it's a developing case. They can't really, you know, no charges have been pressed or mm-hmm. anything. He has been asked to not use those toilets.
Yeah, And to be keep away from the
and keep away, and
the,
I think
the student toilets. There were student toilets to begin with, and I think he was a lecturer there. But
student toilets to begin with, and he was hanging around them.
Yeah.
He's agreed to do so as well.
I know. Well, anyway, but, yeah, states back quite a bit. But anyway, two very shocking stories related to toilets this week.
So. One slightly more shocking than the other.
But. Definitely. So send in your low stakes cereal ideas, things we can deal with here on the podcast, and. We'll try and sort out as many things as possible for you. Do you think we should wrap it up?
I think we should wrap it up, Lou.
I've always wanted to press that button. So thank you for tuning in to the 99% episode 12. You can get the latest episodes of the 99%. Listen back to our archive at 99pshow.com. Facebook.com/99pshow, Twitter.com/99pshow, Instagram.com/99pshow. You can follow Michael McAndrew tweets on Twitter. I am revolutionary.
Yep.
The 99% is a co-production of Buzzhub Entertainment.
And Carb Digital.
Carb Digital, Buzzhub Entertainment. Longlisted for Best Arts Culture Blog and Best Film and TV Blog at the 2016 Littlewoods Ireland Irish Blog Awards.
And we have a new website coming in the next couple of weeks.
New look site.
Yes.
Very exciting.
So I'm nearly finished working on that. Just, getting all the details. So that should be very exciting when that comes out.
Very exciting. Thank you, Shane, for joining us this week.
You're very welcome.
You can follow Shane on Twitter. He is ShaneK909. And we hope to have you back on the show sometime to contribute your thoughts on all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Shane.
All right.
We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Adios. Amigos.